welcome to Rewatchable. This is episode number 106. We are currently recapping the series Freaks and Geeks, and today we will be talking about episodes 13, Choken and Token, and 14, Dead Dogs and Gym Teachers. To get in contact with us, there's a few ways. You've got our email, which is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperbull.com. And we also have a Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So today I am joined by the two newbies, Kristen and Danielle, and one other super fan, Brittany. Say hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
And there's a lot of mixed opinions about these episodes and sort of the series as a whole up at this point. So we'll be getting into that a little bit more towards the end of the episode. But to start off, we've got episode 13. So the synopsis for this one is, in this episode, Bill nearly dies, but it's fine because his friends are getting some Sinead lovin'. The bully apologizes, and it turns out he is mean because he is jealous that they get to let the geek flag fly at sci-fi conventions. Bill's mum cries a lot, but she is nice, even though we also find out it's her fault Bill is a crack baby. Meanwhile, Lindsay smokes pot and it's gross. Don't do drugs, kids. They will make you afraid of sleeping dogs and give your kid peanut allergies. And pretty accurate. That was the return of Ariana's synopsis.
I love her so much. It hurts.
Yeah, so Lindsay decides to smoke pot in this episode from the influence of Nick, who turns up to school quite stoned. This never really happened in my high school. Like, I don't remember ever recalling seeing kids come to school stoned, unless I was just incredibly naive. I don't know if this is something more common back in the 80s or if it's just a case with Nick. I got no idea.
Well, the third floor bathroom in my high school was the pot bathroom. Like, you didn't go in there because it reeked of pot. So apparently it was a thing at my school. Never really paid much attention to it myself. Didn't really know about it myself, but everybody knew that the third floor bathrooms were like where the pot smokers went to smoke.
There was always cigarette smoke in the bathrooms, but unless I was just incredibly naive back then.
I mean, I found out like after high school, because I met a couple people in college who knew people from my town who had also gone to my high school, that there were a lot of people doing drugs, and I'm like, no, my high school is so good. Like, no one ever did that. And they were like, oh, you have no idea. So apparently I was very naive to it.
Yeah. And so Lindsay, I mean, she is obviously getting influenced by Nick, and it was a huge case of peer pressure. And I don't know why Lindsay sort of feels the need to, I know that she's still trying to fit in, but it seems like she doesn't really care about what Nick thinks of her. Well, it seemed like she doesn't care what Nick thinks about her after all their breakup and all that weird drama. But I don't know, Kristen, watching it now, do you understand Lindsay's, being subject to the peer pressure? Or?
Well, I think it might have had more to do with what her dad had said to her brother. Like, listening to her dad kind of tell Sam that he needs to kind of get out there and, you know, and try some new things. Like, and then he looks at her and says, you can do it when you're married. I think that had more of an impact on Lindsay wanting to try pot than Nick did. Like, I think she was in the market to do something kind of wacky, something kind of out there, and was like, you know what? I've never smoked, and it, you know, all of my friends do, maybe I'll try it. Like, I, you know, it's not a thing I'm like want to do, but maybe I'll try it just to try it. I think her dad might have pushed her towards this more than Nick did.
Yeah, I understand, because if they're restricting her more, she has more of a need to rebel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danielle, do you feel the same way, or?
I guess, I don't share the same mindset as Lindsay, so it's hard to judge. I definitely wouldn't call it peer pressure, because there was nobody physically in the room, like, telling her to do it. She had time to make the decision, and then she made the decision. I don't know.
So you don't think Nick sort of criticizing her is peer pressure?
I don't think so, because he just kind of walked away. Like, to me, peer pressure is something that happens, like, in the moment, or it's, like, I don't know. If it is something that the person decides to do on their own, they've had a little bit more pressured to do so. I just didn't see Lindsay as doing peer pressure. It honestly felt really strange to me to have her be so anti and like be like kind of know what she wants and then to turn around and do it in her bedroom. I don't know.
So you think because it wasn't Nick wasn't like explicitly and specifically saying, oh, asking her to smoke the weed, he sort of like planted the seed in her mind, like of all the thoughts that she had about why, you know, she should do it. And then she did do it. Like, so he didn't directly say that she is, he didn't like use all the reasons he was saying as to why she needs to smoke weed. But yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying, but sure. It just didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't feel right, or it didn't feel like a progression that I would have thought would have happened, I guess.
Yeah, okay. It was incredibly irresponsible for her to go to babysit still, even when Millie was there with her. Like, I don't know, Lindsay honestly is not that, there's a note in the doc here saying she's not as smart as she thinks she is, and I'll have to agree with that to an extent. Like, she can be very smart, but for some reason lately in this part of the series, she lets things get the better of her, which never seemed to happen earlier. Like, she was still trying to fit in and losing a bit of herself, but she still maintained her common sense, and now she's not really. I don't know. Brittany, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I love Millie in this entire episode, which I'm sure you do too, Jack.
Yes.
But I'm not sure. I mean, I was rewatching this. This was one of my, like, this is one of the most, like, praised episodes of the series, and it's one of my least favorite episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it's because this one and the next one are two of my least favorite episodes, and I don't know why.
Oh, my God. They're two of my favorite episodes.
It's not that, like, I'm like, oh, nonconformist, everyone loves these, I must hate these. But they're just two episodes that I couldn't get into. The next one is because of Bill. But this one, I don't know, I felt like it was the anti-drug episode that just didn't do its job. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to think about something else when guys were talking about it with this episode. I don't know.
But do you think it was meant to be like a big PSA episode?
No, well, the way that this series does PSAs, it's not like Glee doing a PSA, so they're not going to have like, you know, a big in your face, don't do drugs thing. They're going to tease it out in a more complicated way, which I appreciate. But then again, I just don't think that it was necessary for her to do that, and she could have reconnected with Millie in another way or shown the strain on their relationship in another way without Lindsay having to do it. I just, like Danielle was saying, it didn't feel like it was a natural step for her to do.
But I thought that the use of, you know, having Lindsay be high, and then when Millie said, I feel sorry for you, you're not going to remember tomorrow that tomorrow you're not going to know that you said that you still want to be friends or something. Like, I think it was a good juxtaposition, like, to show Millie obviously sober and so innocent and vulnerable, and Lindsay, who is clearly, like, sort of using her and is going off the rails. And then, you know, it just made us all feel more familiar. So I thought it was well done in that sense.
Yeah, but I don't think that this was meant to be, like, a one-time thing with Lindsay. And I don't, like, it felt like the stakes were too high for it. It wasn't like this was the fourth or fifth time that Lindsay was high, and this was another consequence of that. It felt too rushed. That's what I'm thinking. It felt too rushed. Like, it happened one time, and it's all happening in the same episode, and then they got to move on from it. So in that kind of PSA type thing, I just don't think it panned out that well. If this could have been, like, you know, she's been getting high for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then she's calling Millie, or Millie's seeing this happening, and then all of a sudden she calls Millie for help, I could see it playing out more, maybe, in at least for me.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
I was going to say, I thought it was a little surprising that she got high all by herself in her room at her parents' house. And
yes.
I saw no reason for her to choose that place at that time to get high. I feel like Lindsay, yeah, if she was going to do it and if she was going to give it a shot, she would have done it with someone to prove to them that she's not this goody-goody that they all have kind of made her out to be. Like,
yes.
I feel like she would have called Kim, or she would have stayed with Nick, or she would have called Dan or someone. Like, I don't feel like she would have just done it by herself. I know why they did in the episode. Like, I know mm-hmm. why they chose to make that her decision, but it doesn't make the most sense.
And also, Wade has a very distinct smell as well, and it, like, can stain, like, you know, clothing and furniture and stuff. Like, even though she was smoking outside the window, I'm sure, like, you'd still be able to smell it in the room in some capacity. And if not, you'd still be able to smell it outside. It has that very distinct smell, so... Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it seems like she hasn't got as much common sense as she did earlier on in the series, which kind of sucks, because that was something I always liked about her, how she was still... She wanted to sort of fit in with everyone else, but she still maintained that aspect of herself, and now she's, like, in this part, she's sort of losing that, and it sucks a bit, but, I mean, that's just how it goes, I guess.
I really thought she was going to make, like, pot brownies or something. When he handed it to her, I didn't think her first inclination to try it was going to be, I'm going to go smoke this by myself. Like, I thought she was going to, you know, figure out another way or do the Lindsay thing and, like, kind of get high but do it in her own way.
Mm. That'd be a bit sillier, though, because I'm not going to say how I know this, but the butter, when you cook that butter, it does stink the whole house. I'm not saying from first-hand experiences. Let's just leave it at that. But yeah, we've already mentioned Millie in this episode, and she is amazing. Favorite character. And it's just, like I said, like, the hearts, I just hear the hearts breaking when she just says that, you know, Lindsay isn't going to want to be her friend when she's not loaded anymore. And it's just, it hurts. But Millie is amazing. And why do you guys think that she is still sticking with Lindsay? I mean, I think it's just because she's a fantastic friend, and, you know, she still sees the innocent side in Lindsay, like when they were friends as kids and stuff. But Danielle, how do you feel about Millie, and what do you think about her friendship with Lindsay still?
Millie is the best.
Yes.
But I guess we've already covered that. I feel like perhaps she feels a connection with Lindsay that she doesn't feel with anybody else. And from what we've seen, it appears that they were really, really close. And they were really, really close for about 16 years. Or, like, give or take a few, but basically their entire lives. Yeah. And it feels that Lindsay only recently made this change. I don't remember how long ago it was that her grandmother died, but it was less than a year, I'm assuming.
Start of the series, so yeah, maybe a few months ago.
Yeah, so I feel like while we were never privy to old Lindsay, like 100% old Lindsay, we saw her when she was rejoining the Mathletes or whatever, we saw a little bit of it, but because this feels like forever Lindsay to us, we don't see the connection between her and Millie, but I don't think it's been long enough for Millie to really just let go of someone that she's been friends with for so long.
Yeah. And I think that Millie probably isn't saying, I mean, it seems apparent that Lindsay has sort of built up this, well, she sort of severed the relationship in her head more than I think Millie thought it was. Because, you know, Lindsay's talking as if they're, like, barely friends anymore and they don't talk as much. And Millie didn't really see it that way. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Kristen, how do you feel about Millie in this episode?
Well, I mean, we all love Millie, but I was kind of, I think the same thing as what you just said, Jack. Like, I think Lindsay hasn't really come across in the series like she's cut Millie off. Like, yeah, she started to kind of hang out with a new crowd, but we've seen Millie a lot and we've seen her with Lindsay a lot. Like, it's not like she said, we can never talk again. I'm way too cool for you. Like, this is not happening. It was more like, I want to hang out with these other people. I don't want to do what I used to do, but, you know, I don't hate you. Like, I don't know if it was really like Lindsay said, we're not friends anymore until this episode where all of a sudden Lindsay's like, why aren't we friends anymore? I'm like, you're not? Like, I know you're not like best friends maybe like you used to be, but, you know, as far as I was concerned, I would have, if I was, you know, asked who is Lindsay friends with, I would have included Millie on that list.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know if that's like a continuity error or if like maybe it is meant to be like more character development like that we're not seeing on screen. Yeah. Brittany, how do you feel about this?
I mean, I think what you just said is very accurate. I think it was more of maybe off screen that this was happening, and this kind of goes along with why I thought that this episode, the pacing was so weird, because Millie seems like, if there was stuff happening off screen and Millie coming to the rescue would seem more of, more like a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, cause they have been ostracized from each other. There's no denying that, but it would have felt more rewarding had we seen how far and strange their relationship came. Like, let's say if there were scenes where Lindsay's walking down the hallway and she's too engaged in a conversation with her quote unquote new friends to ignore Millie, but she's been, all we've seen so far is her still talking to Millie and like acknowledging her in the hallway, if no matter if it's convenient or not convenient. So I think that that would have been a little better for us this episode if we had seen her ignoring her even just once as like, you know, like an opening thing in the beginning of the episode. But I think that Lindsay, this could just be Lindsay being like high or whatever, like just making up in her head, like, well, Millie's not coming to you all the time, like being like, hey, do you want to hang out? Do you want to hang out? Do you want to hang out? She's not that kind of friend. She sees that what you're doing, she is smart enough not to get involved in anything that you're doing. And she's letting you have your space because she knows that you'll come back when you need her, which is just how wonderful Millie is.
Yeah, and which, I mean, I guess that sort of goes on to the point which Ariana made in the doc, saying that Lindsay really does just use Millie, which mm-hmm. is really unfortunate because Millie's, you know, she's so vulnerable or innocent all of the time, and she doesn't deserve that one bit. Yeah, a small little side plot in this part of the episode as well was with Nick. Like, I'm going to post the newbies a question. Like, do you think that Nick is still, like, really head over heels for Lindsay? Or what do you think his motivations are, at least now in the series? I'll ask you first, Kristen.
Well, I am a lot less anti-Nick than a lot of people. I feel like Caitlin. He's just... I know. But I feel like he's just a teenage boy who still kind of likes this girl. And he doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't know how to deal with it. He's just... using the examples he's seen, like his friends and other people and TV and all of that, like he's just kind of doing what he thinks he's supposed to do. And so at this point, I think he still likes Lindsay, maybe not as much as before because a lot of stuff has happened and it's just kind of like, you know, is it really worth it kind of thing. But because he doesn't really have anything else to do and because he doesn't really... there's nobody else that's like walked into his life and he's like, oh my God, I have to, you know, get to know this person. I feel like he's kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, I'd still be with Lindsay. Maybe that's what I do want. So he's maybe not as like into her as he used to be, but I think he's still like definitely intrigued by her. I think he would still definitely go out with her or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Danielle.
I do agree with maybe the fact that he's bored. I feel like he's the type of person who falls hard and then just never stops. But then also part of me wants to know if this, I guess, attraction or wanting to court Lindsay is stemming from the fact that his time in high school and his time like with his friends is running out. Because while that storyline got dropped slightly, it does come back here where like he's smoking a lot now because why not? He's not going on to better things. And I think maybe the worry that's associated with that is going to come around and it is coming around and manifesting in feelings for Lindsay again. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. All righty. Well, so the next plot line in this episode with the, oh, I guess with the geeks, is where Bill nearly dies from the bully, I can't remember his name, dropping peanuts in his sandwich. And now this storyline was pretty upsetting for me when I first watched it. But, I mean, part of it fell, I don't know if part of it fell flat for me on the rewatch on the bully stance. Like, when he is saying to Bill, like, he was justifying his behavior and saying that Bill is always lying, so, you know, he doesn't know if he was lying about a peanut allergy, so put his peanuts in the sandwich. Like, I don't know if, like, if... I suppose I'm just going to answer my own question in my head, but, like, the bully is just sort of trying to, like, do, have a cop-out and find any reason, like, to justify his behavior. I mean, I don't... I'm not sure. I mean, Brittany, looking back on this plot line, like, how did you feel about the bully? And I can't remember his name. If you remember it, tell me.
Oh, it's Alan. I think it's Alan, right?
Alan, that's Alan. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Alan. I'm pretty sure.
How do you feel about him in the episode with Bill?
Well, his entire backstory just annoys the crap out of me because it doesn't seem justified. Like, we need a lot more about Alan to make me, like, feel like he even cares that he almost killed Bill. Oh, Kill Bill. It's a good movie. But I think rewatching this, especially now in a very hyper aware peanut allergy world, I was like, oh, a peanut allergy is what's going to kill him. But I guess, like, when the show was made, peanuts weren't banned everywhere. Are they banned everywhere in Australia? Because, like, you can't have them on planes. You can't have peanut butter sandwiches in school. Like, you can't have anything here.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Really?
We have
tables. Like, if you pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like, there are separate tables. You can't bring in a lot of the schools in, like, our district. Like, you can't bring in any sort of, like, cupcakes or anything just in case there's, like, a strain of, like, peanut in it because the peanut allergy is so bad.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Like, kids can no longer bring treats for their birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, like, there's not any that you can sort of, like, monitor that. But I'm pretty sure, I know that in childcare centers, they're banned because, you know, kids and stuff and always interacting with each other. Like, if they swap food or something, mm-hmm. that could obviously go quite wrong. I'm not sure about primary schools. I have a feeling some might. I mean, primary schools for me is, like, kindergarten to grade 6, and then grade 7 to 12 is high school. So I think maybe primary schools might have it banned, but, yeah.
But anyway, Alan, he's just a jerk. And I feel zero sympathy for him. Because is this the episode or is it the next episode where they talk about the rockets? I think it was this one, right?
He's trying to justify, like why he is mean by saying that, like, the geeks never ask him to hang out and do that kind of stuff that he wants to do. Like, okay, but I'm like dude, so but then don't be mean to them and they will ask you to hang out.
Yeah, and it seems like it was like a one-off incident. He, like, wrote them off forever. He was like, forget it. I'm never being friends with anyone. And I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah, and I feel like part of it is, or part of his anger, it kind of seems like it's his insecurity about his geekiness. Like, that's why he beats on other people. Mm-hmm. But also, he sees himself, I think, as a sort of equal to Bill, but because Bill was getting a lot of attention in class and it wasn't all negative, I think that bully man, Alan, yeah. he was getting jealous, or he didn't like the fact that Bill could be seen in a slightly positive light by anyone for being a geek when, like, that's what Alan is and he's never been seen that way.
Yeah, and plus I think that, and as crazy as it sounds, like, he's jealous of Bill constantly just because Bill has two very good friends. And you don't really see Alan with anyone. Like, yeah, there are people who are, like, kind of following his lead, but he's never, like, it doesn't seem like he ever has any, like, friends. It's just sort of people who are, like, clinging to him for the moment, whereas Bill has had these two consistent friends for his whole life, basically. And yeah. Totally. Alan kind of, like, has to, like, catch them as they come.
If they come.
And I suppose we all sort of feel like his scene in Bill's, like, when he's sort of apologizing to Bill and saying all that stuff when Bill was supposedly unconscious, like, I guess we all probably thought that sort of fell flat. Like, it wasn't really weighted in any sense.
Well, I feel like it's not like Bill sat in class and said, I'm allergic to peanuts, and that's all he said. He said, if I even touch a peanut, I'll die. Like, I could die.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like he undersold it. He flat out said, if I eat a peanut, I will die. That's not something to play with. So the sheer fact that Alan walks into his hospital room and, like, gives him this whole spiel about how he wishes, you know, he wishes they could have been friends and blah, 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 all of that. It fell flat for me because that's not, like, something I would have ever thought you would play with. Like, if someone tells you they're allergic to something so bad that it could kill them, that's not something you check out to see if they're lying about. I think that's why I had no sympathy for Ellen whatsoever.
But is that back to what Brittany... Yeah. And, like, is this going back to what Brittany said, though? That, like, allergies weren't as prominent at that point?
Well, and, so, like, maybe... that I totally could get. Yeah, like, that it's not a well-known thing, but it wasn't... maybe he thought Bill was being, like, exaggerating it or something, but...
for attention.
Yeah. It just... it would have. I would never have even thought it was something that you would say. Well, let's test that theory. Let's see.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Bill isn't the boy who cried wolf. You know, he's not going around spouting out all his lies and saying that they're true. You know, so that's the thing. Like that makes Alan doing this even worse because he's got like no basis to stand off. You know, he's just being a dick.
Yeah, like, what does what does Bill have to gain from saying I'm allergic to peanuts? Like, it's not like you're, like, saying, like, oh, I, like, you know, I can run a 4-minute mile and no one can catch me. And then it's like, oh, wow, like, you could test that. But what do you gain from saying that you are allergic to peanuts? Nothing. Yeah. Except...
I'm not going to try and play, like, devil's advocate, but maybe, like... Alan thought Bill was saying it because he had a crush on the teacher. So that would make the teacher sympathetic. That's what I was going to say.
And like I think that would be more effective if they communicated that. Like if you could see Alan like kind of crushing on the teacher while Bill is getting his attention, I feel like that would have been not like there's any great reason to do this, but like that would have been an interesting motivator or like something that we could tangibly like understand.
Yeah. And I kind of wish Bill's mum sort of ripped into him a bit more. Like, I like what she said, but I wish she said a little bit more, like, kind of lost control a bit when she was yelling at him. But I suppose that she can't really do that much when his dad is standing right there, but he still deserved it. But, yeah, and that was also really nice as well, seeing the mums together. And it was really heartbreaking to see Nick and Sam talking about what would happen if Bill would die, even though they were joking a bit, but then they realised it's actually not a joke. So... Yeah, sad all around. And that's the thing, when I sent out this tweet on Twitter to you guys, I was like, oh, this is going to be so sad. And then, like, you responded with, like, oh, no, not really. I'm like, damn it.
When I first watched these were the two of the first episodes that I've seen, that I saw of Freaks and Geeks when it was in reruns. I caught it late. And so this one was the second episode I saw. I definitely saw the next episode we're going to talk about first. That was my first Freaks and Geeks experience ever. And then I think this one, they might have, like, done... It might have been one of those things where, like, I watched that one episode, and then by the time I went back and started watching more, like, this one happened to be on a rerun. And... Because I remember watching the second one again and being like, oh, I'm catching this one again. But... I don't know, like, I guess because I came into it with these two, I didn't have anything to go off of. And then rewatching it, they still, like, I knew what was coming and I was still just not into it. I don't know why. I wish I was.
So that's odd to me because I think, I mean, I guess we can talk about this a bit more in the discussion that we'll have about the storytelling aspect of the episodes. But, like, I feel like Freaks and Geeks has never been stronger at this point. Like, it's at its peak here. Yeah. I mean, that's all stuff we can sort of say in retrospect, but anyway. But I've got to say what Ariana said here in the doc. She's talking about, I don't know, who's the girl from I forgot her name. I'm like mind blank this morning. The one who was already in the episode who the geeks were fawning over.
Maureen.
She comes back. Maureen, yeah. So Maureen comes back and then so did Shanae the cheerleader, who is my favorite character, obviously, to Ariana. And then she also says that she's so real, not like stupid Cindy. Preach it, girl. I like that she's upfront about her bitchitude as well as her niceness. So I just had to throw some Cindy shade there. Don't hate. a note about this episode as well is that this episode was the first... after this episode, Freaks and Geeks got cancelled. I mean, I guess I'll have to spoil it for the listeners. Like, it's only an 18-episode run, and the 18th episode is it. That's the last one. But, Brittany, do you want to sort of explain more about what happened back in the day when this was airing and how and why and what happened with its cancellation?
Yeah, so this was episode 13, 12. It was actually technically 12 at the time because they didn't air Kim Kelly as My Friend. And so... this aired in like March of 2000, and it was after this episode that NBC pulled the show. They canceled it, and what they did was even worse. They put in its spot another episode of Dateline. So it wasn't even like they, because they had like a new show and they were like, this isn't working, we're gonna try something new. They just replaced it with News, and I don't know if we want to read it, but it's pretty funny. The day after it was
read it.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, so the day after that the series was canceled and they put in Dateline, there was a website that was called freaksandgeeks.com, and there were message boards there, and Judd Apatow actually went on the website and posted this rant, which has been wonderfully documented by Alan Sepinwall, because the website is like defunct now, it doesn't work. And so this is Judd Apatow on the cancellation. "This has been a terrible day. It is always painful dealing with a network, HBO excluded. They are great. They have no interest in quality. They have no patience. They have no job. They have no job security. This is a recipe for disaster. So now they will bring Dateline back to the air. News magazine shows are truly evil. They pretend to be news, but they are 100% tabloid garbage. They prey on people's pain and turn it into cash for their megacorp masters. How much money did NBC make exploiting the Columbine children? Do we need to see all of those images day after day for months? Must they interview every kid who has ever murdered their parents or classmates? They say it is news. It isn't news. It's greed. What do we learn from these reports? These shows are glorified versions of the old movie Faces of Death. They will talk about anything if they think people will watch it. It desensitizes everyone who watches it. It makes us feel like the world is a scarier place than it actually is. The film network has come true. I am just glad that we were able to sneak something decent on that was from our hearts before they killed us. Think about this. They haven't aired 6 episodes. That cost them millions of dollars. How much do they resent our shows to take that hit? They are, what, oh, sorry. What are the real politics of this decision? Maybe at the highest level of NBC or GE, there is someone we don't even know, and he doesn't relate to the geeks. He relates to the bullies. I would guess our show doesn't touch his heart. It reminds him of his deepest pain, his flaws. Either that, or he sees a number and doesn't care what it is. If it's not making my stockholders money today, get it off. God forbid they showed anything that they were proud of." Oh, I'm sorry. They do. It's called Daddy-O. I don't know what that is, but that was the end of his rant.
That's incredible.
Yeah, what? And then what happened after this was they aired the rest of the episodes. Well, they aired 6 more or 5 more of the episodes, excluding Kim Kelly is my friend, and they didn't air them in order. So they were like all out of order. And then finally, when they were put on DVD, like they were all in order and people could watch them as it was meant to be watched, as we were watching it, and then it would just be, it became the cult obsession that it was. But yeah. Oh, apparently Daddy-O was a show that they greenlit after they pulled Freaks and Geeks.
But I will never understand a network's inclination to air episodes out of order. Like, they did it with Firefly, they did it with Enlisted a couple of years ago, and it makes no sense. Like, I don't get it. Like, just air them in order, and if you don't like the series, cancel it. If you do, keep it on. Like, it makes no sense to move them out of order.
Yeah, and they did it, like, all in, like, a Saturday, and they were just like, okay, here's 3 episodes, here's, like, 2 more, and then they aired a couple at a Paley Fest, I think. It was a hot mess.
If this was to happen, like, in present day, like, or have the laws changed? Like, if, for example, if, I don't know, if Friends got cancelled after season 6 or something, God forbid it would never have happened. But if, no, that's not a good idea. No, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, an example of a TV show. Like, okay, so if How to Get Away with Murder got cancelled after this first season, right? Would Shonda Rhimes go on Twitter and just have a huge rant? Like, would that be allowed, or have like networking laws like changed that like that would receive more of a backlash than it would have back in the day? Because it seems like there's not really any. I can't think of any stories like or any situations off the top of my head where this has happened within the last like 10, 15 years. You know,
I don't think there are any laws against it. I think the reason why you wouldn't is that if you did this, you wouldn't have a great reputation, and there's less of a chance of anything you ever do getting picked up ever again.
Yeah,
kind of like blacklisted.
Yeah, like the networks would know. Because, like, if a... Because I'm assuming Judd Apatow at this point, like, had some sort of following. And so the people who respect him now would look at the network in a different way. And so that's not good for business. So no other network would want someone like him to do this, which I don't know how that happened, because after this he got, what, undeclared on the air?
Yeah, he got undeclared. And then he had, like, a million and one movies. So networks really weren't afraid of the Judd Apatow business.
Yeah, I feel like today there would probably be more consequences, because I'm sure that the site that he posted on is not like Twitter. Whereas Twitter, everyone can see it. People can start talking about it, sharing it instantly. Yeah. And so I feel like it would be more widespread today than it was then. So it would have more consequences that way, but I do not believe there are any laws against it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, to cap off the episode, we've still got our favourite lines and scenes to go. So I'll go first with favourite lines. It's a conversation between Millie and Lindsay, so I did cheat a little bit. So Millie to Lindsay, "You're high." And then Lindsay, "What? You're on the pot." "How could you tell?" Millie, "I'm not dumb, Lindsay. I know what high people look like. I went to a Stills and Crofts concert last summer. I'll go with you, but only for the safety of the child." "Thank you, Millie." "No, thank your dealer." Just because I had to. Danielle, what was your favorite line?
Mine was from Lindsay when she was being herself. And she says, "Dog crap is here and we don't smoke that." And I think it was Nick was saying something like how it's here, so we're supposed to smoke it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Kristen?
Mine is also a conversation between Lindsay and Millie. My favorite line is actually Millie's line, but you need Lindsay's to set it all up. Lindsay says, "What if all of this is a dream and it isn't even our dream? It's that dog's dream. Maybe we're just existing in his mind and all of a sudden he'll go drink out of the toilet and we'll all be gone. What will happen to us if that dog wakes up? It will be over." And then Millie says, "Life is not that dog's dream." I just, the way she said it, like the straight face, like just Milliness of it made me laugh so freaking hard. I loved it. It's so great.
Yeah. Brittany?
Mine was from, I forget the teacher's name. It's like Faro or something like that. But anyway, it's Leslie Mann. And I think Leslie Mann's great. So I just chose a quote from her. It's when they're talking in class and she says, "George Washington Carver had many accomplishments, but he was best known for his work with the peanut and for being Bill's mortal enemy." I mean, there's like tons of like great, like Lindsay high jokes and scenes, but I just love Leslie Mann. So I wanted to give her a shout out somewhere.
Yeah, that was cute. All the cameos in this show. Jesus. Yeah. So, yeah, so favorite scenes. Mine is when Lindsay first smokes weed for the first time, but not only that, it's when Nick and her are together and they're listening to Fat Bottom Girls by Queen, and Nick is just talking about how amazing Freddie Mercury is, and he's freaking out over him hitting the high notes and being awesome in general, and that was just me in a nutshell in that scene, except for the high part. So, Danielle?
Mine's pretty standard. It's Millie babysitting Lindsay. Yeah, mostly the one where they're having real talk, but yes, Millie babysitting Lindsay.
Yeah. Kristen?
Mine is definitely that little montage of Lindsay trying to roll herself a joint, like watching her like try to get enough in there. And then like, it was just hilarious. I thought, honest to God, they do a lot of these random little montages where I'm like, is that really necessary? This time, I just started laughing hysterically because it looked so funny.
Yeah. And we get one in the next episode as well with Bill, which is funny.
Yep.
Brittany?
Mine was when Danielle and Ken were in Mr. Rosso's office and he's like trying to be like really hard on them. And he just like, it's sort of like, it's like one of those moments where you're like, oh crap, like they're gonna get in so much trouble, but then they're just like so high that they literally just can't do anything about it, so he just lets them go.
And he had that friend as well, which is like an ex-hippie too.
Yeah. Love. I just love Mr. Awesome.
Yeah, All right, so going on to episode 14, Dead Dogs and Gym Teachers. Now, this is another sad episode, and I don't know if I'm going to be the only one upset like I was in the previous one, but anyway, excuse me. So the synopsis for this one is, in this episode, Bill is once again the most shockingly fascinating character when his mum starts studying the gym teacher. In an even more shocking twist, the gym teacher turns out to be kind of a cool guy. Also, Kim Kelly kills Millie's dog, but she didn't mean it because she is a scarlet woman with a heart of gold. And I don't know if she's being sarcastic there. And Seth Rogen destroys Jason Segel's guitar because he's a good friend. Now, right off the bat, I'm just going to say quote for, like, word for word what Ariana has written in the dog because it's absolutely amazing. Have you guys ever run over an animal? It's so sad, and I don't even like dogs. Speaking of which, I went to the bookstore today, and all these fancy white people in Manhattan Beach had their dogs in the store. And I was just like, if your dog doesn't know how to read, it doesn't belong in here. It belongs outside in the fresh air playing with other dogs. If your dog does know how to read, though, then major props. That is impressive. I just don't even like that. And all I'm thinking of is that children's book, The Selby, The Talking Dog, because those books were amazing when I was a kid. I'm just going to put that out there. But, yeah,
there's this guy who brings his dog. I go to, like, his Starbucks all the time, and he brings this little Pomeranian. He has, like, this giant pickup truck, and he's, like, this big guy. And this little fluffy Pomeranian jumps out of the truck every day, runs up to the door of the Starbucks, jumps on the bench, and just sits there while he goes in and gets his coffee. And then as soon as he leaves, she jumps right back down and jumps up in the truck, and they go off together. I'm like, these people have wonderful adventures.
Aww.
It's so cute, but this little dog does run through the parking lot. Like, it's very well trained, but it's so tiny.
Yeah. I like it. I love dogs, but I have a huge problem when people bring, like, pets into stores. Like, it's probably not a huge deal, but, like, even if somebody is carrying, like, a little dog, like, it still bothers me, because what if somebody in the store is, like, allergic to that kind of animal? Like, because people are allergic to dogs, that's a thing, and it just makes me so annoyed. Like, people just don't understand that. But anyway, because I work in retail, and it just happens more frequently than I think it should. Yeah, but anyway, so Kim and Lindsay run over Millie's dog, and I think it's just a funny. Even though this was very upsetting, and when I first watched it, it was just so emotional for me, because I think it's so heartbreaking to see pets die on TV. Like, it shouldn't be legal.
But or even running over animals. That's really hard.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny when... it shouldn't be funny, but when Kim and Lindsay and that tell the rest of the freaks, hey, we killed Millie's dog, and then Ken goes, with your bare hands? It shouldn't be so funny, but it is. But, yeah, this is really, really upsetting. I mean, Kristen, how do you feel about all this? I mean, how do you feel about Kim Kelly in this episode, really? Because she really... is at her best, I think, here.
Well, okay. I was of two minds about Kim in this episode. Because one, I thought she really does feel bad. And she's trying to, you know, kind of make it up to Millie without telling Millie what she did. So, you know, that aspect of it I could see and was like, okay, that's really cool of her. The other part is that I felt like she was almost like... mocking her or using her, like, it there's a twinge of something in what Kim did in this episode that never sat right with me. Just it didn't feel entirely honest, and because it wasn't honest, it just didn't feel right. I think it might just stem from me wanting Millie to be treated right at all times because I love her so much, but something about it just irritated me the whole time. I was like, Kim, just either tell her or don't, but don't act like you think everything's gonna be okay if you just pretend to be her friend.
I think that's just like her personality and how she would sort of, if Kim was in that situation, I think that's how she would sort of cope with it, sort of, you know, going out with friends and doing what she knows. So she sort of was like putting that onto Millie. But I think that the twinge of like of offness you get from her is just her personality and just how she is. I think she had all the good intentions in that way and what she was doing. Hey, Danielle, how do you feel about Kim Kelly in this episode?
I'm okay. I know in here Ariana said Kim Kelly won her over. I was okay with her. I think I'm kind of aligned with Kristen where it didn't feel all the way authentic. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Kim might see Millie as someone, before she was someone she pitied, but then I think throughout the course of the episode, maybe Kim Kelly saw Millie as someone she wished she could be. Because previously, when Lindsay joined the Mathletes, all of the freaks were reconsidering their life choices. And maybe this is kind of carrying over from that, where she looks at Millie now and sees someone who she kind of wishes she could be under different circumstances.
Yeah, I understand that. Brittany, how do you feel about Kim at this point of the series? Because I suppose I think that she is at her best here, especially from knowing what we know in the later episodes. But yeah, how do you feel?
I mean, I love Kim Kelly from the first episode, so nothing has really changed about Kim for me. I think she's one of my favorites. But I do think that it's interesting to see her and Lindsay react when Millie is actually, like, you know, taking that, when they pull the line back, sort of, not that there's a line between them and Millie, but when Millie's, like, considering stepping over it, how they're both reacting because they don't think that she's going to step outside of her little box that they've thought of her in. And I loved watching rewatching like their storyline in this episode, because Kim and Lindsay's just reactions to Millie are fantastic. But I've always liked Kim. I think this was the only way she knew how to get someone, like, she did the same thing with Lindsay, where this is the only way she kind of knows how to treat people that she feels, not feels bad for, but thinks need her pity. So, like, she's like, oh, well, I'll just invite them to hang out with me and my cool friends, and I'll, you know, just be nice to them, and maybe they'll see that, like, I'm not such a bad person, and, like, then they'll know that all of this is okay. And her watching her do that again with someone as extremely on the opposite end of the spectrum as Millie, I just loved it. I thought she did everything she could.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that as well. And yeah, with Lindsay in this episode as well, like, she definitely doesn't like Millie hanging around with Kim, which I think is understandable. And I honestly think it comes from, like, almost like Millie in some senses is like a physical manifestation of, like, the rest of Lindsay's innocence. And, like, seeing Millie with, like, those friends is sort of seeing that his innocence get destroyed and, like, the last essence of her. I know that sounds, like, probably more deep than it was intended. But Ariana has written in the doc that she thinks it's, like, Lindsay getting jealous because of all the time that Millie is spending with Kim. I mean, yeah, I'll go to you, Danielle. How do you feel about that and, like, Lindsay and her emotions in this episode?
I don't know about the getting jealous. I had never really thought about that before I read this point by Ariana. I did kind of see it as she's worried about her, but I think it was more, it feels more selfish to me, because if Millie were to turn into what Lindsay is now, if Millie were to walk down the same path that Lindsay did, I feel like part of Lindsay feels like there's no going back for her at that point. Lindsay could not go back at all, like, go back to the person that she was before. So I think she might think of Millie as a sort of anchor in one direction while she walks the other direction, and then where she feels like she could always come back because Millie's there. But if Millie's walking the same direction, then I think Lindsay might think that there's no going back. Does that make sense?
So, like, Millie is sort of like her safety net. So if something goes wrong, she's always got that to fall back on.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get that. I understand that.
Yeah, where, like, she's kind of trying, Lindsay's kind of trying things out now. If Millie is that sort of safety net, it might be that Lindsay doesn't think that this is going to be permanent, but it's something she's exploring. And then she could always go back and Millie will be there and she could be her close to her old self again. But if Millie's not there, then she can't.
And it felt like the show was trying to put across once Millie drank from the beer, that then everything wouldn't change. Like, that was the point where everything wouldn't be able to go back to how it was. And in that sense, I do like that Millie didn't drink the beer, because it did feel like it would have changed all from that moment. Which, yeah. And Kristen, how do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Jack. I think she just saw that, you know, Millie to her is her. It's what she used to be. And so watching all of this happen, and I think it just kind of sent her into kind of freak out mode. Like, how can I can't just let this happen. Millie is, you know, Millie, I can't, you know, I have to protect her. I have to look out for her, because it is kind of Lindsay looking back and saying, you know, like, and she might not have been conscious of it, but she's looking back and saying, like, that's me. That's the last bit of everything that was good about me before my grandma passed. Like, that's the thing I have. So, yeah, I totally agree that she's kind of protecting herself. Like, she's trying to keep that last little bit of her that hasn't completely rebelled yet, and she's trying to keep it safe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, and obviously I agree with that. Brittany, do you agree with that as well?
Yeah, I think, like I was saying earlier, like, that box that she has, not so much box, but, like, Millie, that safety net, like, you know, it's what she can return to if everything goes wrong. She can't have her also being like the freaks, because she's isolated herself so far from what she was used to. She was never fully Millie. She was never fully a freak. She's always in the middle. But if Millie starts creeping closer to the freak, she has less and less room to go back when she realizes that this isn't the life that she wants. Or maybe it is the life that she wants. I don't know. There's still a couple episodes left.
Yeah, Millie could just be, you know, just the craziest endgame person of this whole series.
Exactly. She could totally go off the rails.
You guys don't know. It could happen. Yeah, so is Lindsay getting more annoying to you guys as well? Like, I already sort of mentioned how it is annoying to me how she's sort of lost some of that common sense that she used to have, or I think that she has at least. Danielle, do you think that? Like, is Lindsay getting more annoying to you?
Slightly. I feel like there has been no progression with her, and that might be purposeful, but she's kind of stuck in this spot. But I feel like for someone who wanted to try something new, or who wanted to kind of find out who she was, she kind of started to do that and then has stopped, stalled, and sorry, there's a plane. She stopped and stalled, and she kind of, yeah, like, lost common sense, or it's just really obnoxious at this point, because there are some things that you just kind of want to shake her for. Like, I wanted to shake her for the pot smoking. Like, yeah. So that's how I feel about her.
Yeah. All right. So the next plot line in this episode is with Bill, and the gym teacher, or his gym teacher, has a bit of an obsession. Well, not an obsession. That's kind of a weird thing to say. The gym teacher I didn't even mean to say it like that. I don't know what's going through my mind. The gym teacher is dating Bill's mum, pretty much. And Bill is not all that happy by it. I mean, I have a feeling one of you girls are going to be a little annoyed with Bill's motivations. I can't remember who I read in the doc, but if anybody is upset with Bill and why he was upset with the gym teacher, speak out, because I don't remember who was upset. No one? Am I just imagining that?
It wasn't me. I'm not upset with the gym teacher.
I thought that somebody was a little annoyed at Bill and, like, why he was, like, not okay with the gym teacher dating his mum.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I'm just imagining things. All right, anyway. But, yeah, this was okay, I guess. I mean, I sort of got why Bill was upset. Like, he just doesn't – I mean, I suppose we don't really know specifics about what happened with his father, but just from knowing something bad went down, you can understand him being upset, you know, that all this is going on. Yeah, so, Kristen, how do you feel about all that?
I don't know. I mean, I feel for Bill here, because he's always just – I feel like Bill's a creature of habit. He does what he does. He likes his friends. He likes, you know, eating lunch with his friends. He likes coming home and making himself dinner and sitting down in front of the TV and enjoying his show. And then, you know, like, he has a routine. And when that gets interrupted and nobody, like, pays any attention to the fact that it's kind of, like, uprooted him, like, it's changed his world – that's, I think, what gets me is, like, I wish his mom would have paid a little more attention to how it was bothering him and maybe tried to help him through it. Like, it's a big adjustment for a kid, for some guy to suddenly come in and start dating your mom and show up in the morning in his boxers and t-shirt to get orange juice out of the kitchen. Like, that's kind of weird and strange for a kid in high school. So I feel like there should have been some more talking between him and his mom and, like, trying to figure out how to navigate this really tricky situation.
I agree. I feel like his mom probably should have been a bit more sensitive about it all. Sorry, Danielle, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, yes, definitely, especially since he's the guy's teacher. And not only is he a teacher, but he's also a PE teacher, which wouldn't make a difference maybe for some other kids, but it makes a difference for Bill. Because you look at Bill, and this sounds terrible, but you look at Bill and you don't say, yes, this kid, like, excels everywhere. Like, if it was maybe a teacher for an academic subject, it might be better, but it's a teacher for a physical subject, which most likely is not Bill's strong suit. And if Bill's mom knows him at all, she would know that. And I feel like that is what makes it more painful for Bill slightly, because it's not, he already has a bad impression of the teacher because it's for a subject he doesn't like. We've already seen that. So I think that's what made it worse. And yes, his mom definitely should have talked to him more so than she did.
Yeah. And I don't mind the gym teacher, but it was a little bit annoying how he was trying to, like, force his, like, perceptions of masculinity onto Bill. Like, when he was sort of alluding to the fact that he could get Bill onto the football team, like, for the next year. But Bill obviously isn't going to care about that. He doesn't like that. He's not into those kinds of sports. And that bothered me. Like, I thought the gym teacher would be a little bit more smart, even though he is head over heels for his mum. But even so, like, come on, dude, have some common sense.
Or take up, like, he clearly can see that, just from gym class, that Bill does not have a really big, like, interest in any sort of sport. But pick up something that he does like and try to bond with him over that. Now, granted, he kind of tried to do that toward the end of the episode, but, like, they start watching a show together at one point. Like, Bill walks in and changes the channel. Rather than, like, sitting back and, like, just staring at him like a creeper, like, why not, like, figure out what the show is and try to like it? Like, see what it is and, like, do a little research and see if you can talk to the kid about that. Like, I feel like there were opportunities for him and Bill to bond a little better before the go-karting, and the gym teacher just didn't take any sort of motivation to do anything.
Yeah, and I can stand behind Bill on that, because Bill obviously Bill has the views that the gym teacher is a little bit, like, obnoxious and isn't really trying or doesn't really care about him. So I understand that with Bill. Brittany, how do you feel about all this?
Well, this storyline, I don't know why. Storylines where it's, like, a new guy, like, coming in and, like, trying to, you know, like, fit into a family and not really caring, like, they always bother me for some reason. Like, it's nothing even personal in my life. I just don't like watching it. I get very uncomfortable. So I think that's why I don't like this episode. Plus, it was the first episode I've ever seen in the series. And when they go, like, when he is trying, like, Mr. Fredericks, like, takes some go-karting, Bill was so, it was frustrating because I want to say to Bill, I'm like, you're not seeing what he's trying to do. But then at the same time, like, Bill's not supposed to see what he's trying to do. Like, it's different because he has to go home at the end of the day with this guy, whereas the other two don't. And this whole episode just, like, makes me cringe the entire time because I want Bill to see what he's doing. I want Mr. Frederick to see what he's not doing. And I want the guys not to be having fun because I don't like it. They're making Bill seem like you're not responding to this in the right way when he is. He's responding perfectly fine because, like you guys have brought up, his mom wasn't really talking him through this too well. She was just sort of like, you kind of have to accept this because this is the way things are now. Bill's not being too lenient. And Mr. Fredericks is like, not lenient at first, recognizes his mistakes, but then has to try to make up for it when he also has this whole other relationship with Bill outside of this. And I don't know, this whole episode just makes me, like, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, all right. Well, if that's all we've got to talk about the plot of the episodes, I mean, we've got a bit of discussion about where the series is at the moment in terms of its storytelling and plots that have been on the show. Danielle, I'll hand this over to you for a bit, because you've written a note here on the doc about how you feel about it all.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. So I want to preface it by saying there in no way do I dislike the series, because I am enjoying it so far. However, I do have a problem with the show's lack of follow-through, and I think it's what has been kind of nipping at my heels the entire way so far. I understand that it's had few episodes and that it is probably going to develop further along, but they have started and just completely dropped, without any mention, so many storylines that it's been really bothersome. The biggest one that kind of set me down this path of thinking about it was the one with Neil and his dad. Because when we last see Neil in that episode where he finds out his dad is cheating on his mom, Neil is riding a bicycle and finds the garage and opens the garage and is kind of like devastated standing on his bicycle. His friends have abandoned him right after he yelled at them, and then nothing. Then the next episode, I think it opens up and the three of them are having like the time of their lives. And so there's that. We get no follow through on Lindsay's parents not wanting her to hang out with the freaks. They tell her, no, you cannot do this. We're completely serious. Like, this cannot happen. And then the next thing you know, like the freaks are walking in and out, and you know, the parents are aware. There's no follow through on Kim's home life or crazy mom. There's no follow through on Ken and his new lady friend. Like, there could have at least been a mention of her. And so I guess these sort of things are kind of taking away from my enjoyment of the show, just because there is no mention of them. There's no follow through, especially on important storylines like Neil and his dad. So that's kind of where I am. And I don't know if that's where you are, Kristen, or if it's where any of you guys, the super fans, were when you were first watching it. But this has been kind of bothering me this week.
Sorry, Kristen.
No, you're fine. I totally agree. I think I'm a little more used to this because I've watched shows, Glee, that will pick up.
I dropped that one.
Well, they'll pick up and drop storylines like the drop of a hat. Like, I think I've gotten used to that, and so it's not quite as jarring for me. I mean, I do appreciate a series that can build an arc for a character from one story to the next and not drop plot lines. Like, I love that more than anything. That has not happened on the show, clearly. And so there are things that bug me. Like, I wish that we would address the fact that Nick was supposedly going to military school. Like, I feel like that's a really big deal that would be, like, looming over his head if it's still a threat. Like, I feel like it's something that would affect his character now even more than, you know, him just having a thing for Lindsay and not being sure about that or whatever. Like, there are a lot of things that I think if they would have been a little more careful to use them to their advantage, like, it could have made this series even stronger. Like, it's a good series, and I'm enjoying it too. I'm having good fun, but there's just something that I think could have made it even better, that maybe it wouldn't have been canceled if there were something to kind of keep everyone's, like, heart involved rather than just the funny parts or the, you know, the PSA kind of episodes and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many opinions on this, and a lot of it I can't really say because I don't want to, like, sort of ruin or, like, enhance, like, the last four episodes of the series. So I'll make a mental note to talk about it when we look back at it all. I mean, Brittany, do you have anything to say about it so far without sort of, I mean, alluding to what could or could not happen in the later episodes?
It's a Judd Apatow show. Have you seen Girls? There are zero continuity with anything on that show. It's like, it's the same exact, it's just the way he is, I feel like, with series. And that doesn't bother me so much anymore, because there are, and the reason being is because some of my favorite episodes of television are like bottle episodes. And this series is bottle episode after bottle episode after bottle episode. Like, I love that about shows that have, like, major overarching things. And, like, yeah, you want to know what happens, like, week in and week out. And, like, you're kind of waiting for the next thing to be resolved or for it to come up again. But I love a good, like, a show that can, like, take 40 minutes or whatever allotted time that they give the show a week and just tell one story. And that's their story for that week. And then they kind of, like, can move on and, like, sort of bring things back in, which I think this show... That's how it operates as a series, and it's not giving you one bottle episode. It's giving you 18 bottle episodes that still kind of allude to other ones.
Yeah, Brittany, you pretty much just said exactly what I was. Yeah, no, you pretty much just said exactly what I was a little skeptical to say because I wasn't sure. But that's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of the storylines that you're thinking are being dropped. I just like a lot. Like the character centered ones are fine because we're still sort of getting background on the characters, like, I like Kim Kelly. Like, I don't feel like her crazy home life needs to be followed up, but we just know that that is an issue that is going on in the background, and that's what is sort of making her, that's sort of what has built her as a person. And even things, I mean, I would have loved to have seen more of, like, Neil and his dad, but I feel like if this season, if this series was to carry on and get another season, we would get that extension. But I do agree with you, Brittany, and looking back on it, I mean, I do like that it was, like, bottle episode after bottle episode, that it was just, like, a snippet of all... each episode was, like, a series, like, a storyline of all these characters we enjoy and the really good characters, but that's it sort of thing. Like, almost, like, short movie sort of things. I don't know if that makes any sense either. Like, I know what I'm trying to say in my head, but...
Yeah, because, like, if you look... If you take... I hate using Girls as an example, but it's the Apatow thing. Like... Every episode, like, they have these four characters, and some episodes, like, they brought up this plot line in the beginning of the series with, like, two of the characters, and then you didn't hear from them. The seasons were, like, 10 episodes long. You didn't hear from them for 7 episodes, and you're like, oh, that's right, that's happening. But then you kind of get used to it, because you look back at the series as a whole, and you're like, well, this isn't telling their stories, it's telling Hannah's story. So if this series were to get 5 seasons, 4 seasons, maybe even 3, looking back, you would have been like, oh yeah, there are all these other players, but the story as a whole probably would have just been Lindsay and what's his name, Neil, probably in to some capacity, but it would have been Lindsay's story. I think looking back on it, like, you could think that all these players in the show are, they have major plot lines, they have a lot of crap going on, like, you have Neil finding out about his dad, you have all of that stuff, but they're the minor players. And if this series were to be given another couple of seasons, looking back, it would have done the same thing that Girls did. It would have been Lindsay's story with all these little things to keep you kind of going through it, but you just don't see it until it's over or you're further away from the pilot.
Oh, sorry. And I don't really want to say it's, like, subject to the same issues that Glee was, because I feel like at this point of the series in Freaks and Geeks, we all, as we're doing now, we're looking back and realizing that is sort of how the series functions. Whereas the problem that Glee had in terms of dropping storylines, like, that whole show was centered on building, like, it set up building all these, like, big arcs and, like, setting up characters that everyone was really enjoying, and in a lot of moments they didn't follow up on that. And Freaks and Geeks is doing that as well, but it's sort of, is always how it's been from the start, whereas Glee started off as, a big, elaborate, well, it seemed like it started off as, like, a big, elaborate storyline with all these characters and heaps of characters people were invested in, and then didn't follow up, whereas, like, Freaks and Geeks has always just started up from, like, almost like a series of filler episodes, if that makes sense. Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good way to... Bottle episodes, filler episodes, like, same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Newbies, do you guys have anything else to say about this topic, or... For what me and Brittany have said?
But I also... I agree with what Danielle's saying. It does feel like that when you're watching it. Like, you're not getting a full story.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, I mean, I did feel this way around this point, but, like, when I got to the end, I thought, you know what, that was, even though it was canceled, I was like, that was a very good series for what it was. So, and I suppose, I can't really say anything else. I don't want to, like, spoil the rest of the series, because it doesn't get worse. It still holds up just as fine as it is now. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll go on to our favourite lines and scenes of the episode. Probably should have done that before the discussion, but anyway, that was my fault. So favourite lines for me is a conversation between Lindsay and Kim in the car. Now, this is probably one of my favourite parts of the series. This is before they run over the dog. It was a bit of light humour. Lindsay says, "I hear Fleetwood Mac is amazing in concert." Kim then goes, "I heard Stevie Nicks is a witch." "What do you mean?" Kim goes, "I don't know. She does witch stuff. She casts spells on people. I heard she cast a love spell on Lindsay Buckingham." Now, the reason I chose this is because Fleetwood Mac is one of my favorite bands of all time. Stevie Nicks is everything to me, and I just love hearing any reference to any of the favorite artists that I have. So, yeah. Danielle, what was yours?
My favorite line this week was actually from Ken, and he said, "I always say, girl plus car equals dead animal," which was really funny, but then it's also true to life. So there's that.
Okay, Kristen.
Mine is from Mr. Weir because he's always great. And he says, "All right, fine. Just keep those boys away from your accordion," as Lindsay's running out the door to go see The Who. And it's just, I love him. I really do. Like, he is the quintessential, like, sitcom dad that, you know, he does everything you expect him to do and he reacts exactly how you expect him to react. And so I think that's why I enjoy him and his quips so much.
Yeah, pretty much. Brittany?
Mine was also one of, like, the more, like, quick little lighthearted moments of the episode where Lindsay goes to Kim and she's like, "Are you copying Ken's homework?" And Kim goes, "Trying to." He writes like a mental patient.
Oh, God. I love Ken's sarcastic humor. Yeah. All right, so favorite scenes. Mine is when the Weir parents are listening and they're analyzing The Who to determine whether or not they'll let Lindsay go to the concert. And I just love this because it's just their faces when the lyrics were happening and then when Mr. Weir realizes in and out was alluding to sex. I just thought it was hilarious and really, really funny. So, Danielle, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the funeral because I just really liked the way that it was shot. It's not that, like, the things in it were really stuck out to me, but the way that it was shot, I really enjoyed.
Yeah. Kristen?
Mine is the totally weird scene at the beginning of the episode where we watch Bill, like, make himself lunch and, like, sit down on the couch and laugh hysterically with, like, the food, like, hanging out in his mouth. See, I can't even describe it without laughing. It's so horrifying and awful. Like, it's the funniest scene in this episode, and it just got me. Like, I have an appreciation for Bill anyway, but that scene, I just lost it. And I needed that laugh to get me through the rest of the sad that was in this episode. Like, I was so glad that I had this little opener that just kind of gave me a chance to, like, release all of the tension before it all just builds and builds and builds. So, yeah, it's definitely,
and I love
favorite.
That. Like, if anybody's, like, losing their shit laughing at anything, even in real life, like, it could be something I don't even find funny. Watching the person just lose their shit over the joke would just make me laugh just as much because I find that hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I know. No, I'm exactly the same way. Yeah.
Brittany, you said you have a story about this scene?
I do. Okay, so as I've said like 100 times already on this podcast, this was the first episode I've seen of Freaks and Geeks, and the only reason why I was like watching television was because I had I watch television all the time, but when this was still on Fox Family, I had the stomach virus right before I was watching this. I just remember this so vividly, and this scene happened and I was so disgusted that I had to, like, I watched it from behind a pillow because I was still so sick. Like, I was like, it was just not good timing for this scene to happen, and every time I watch it I get so nauseated that, like, I just associate it with having the stomach virus and just watching the food, like, pour out of his mouth and, like, oh my God, it was so gross. So gross. Anyway, my favorite scene was at the end of this episode where Mr. Frederick sort of, like, lets Bill put on Dallas, and he's kind of, like, listening to Bill explain it, and Bill's starting to open up to him, and just, like, it just, television is the great, like, bridge. It just brings people together. I love it.
As we're doing now.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Alrighty, so just to say our contact information again, our email is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @re_watchable. Our Tumblr is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can comment on this post on Hyperbool. And over at Hyperbool, we have got heaps of articles about freaks and geeks now to correspond with our recaps here on the podcast, so go check it out. I made one a few weeks ago about a playlist that sort of fits with some scenes from Freaks and Geeks, and there are some scenes and songs from this episode, so if you're interested, go over there and check it out, and the other ones, because they're all really good. So our iTunes reviews incentive this week. If you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will run over your dog so that your parents let you go to a Who concert.
Oh, Karen. Because
that's
thanks, Ariana.
Exactly what everyone wants. Thanks, Ariana. God. Alrighty, so we've got a few pieces of listener feedback this week. On Twitter, Zach H. Official says, Reba is on in the living room, and I'm reminded of Rewatchable and at BritLovely237. So that's you,
yeah!
Brittany. Do you
want
to talk about that?
I was so excited. I retweeted this and then tweeted immediately after that I've made it. If everyone on Rewatchable now associates me no longer with King Boomy, but with Reba, I am the happiest person alive. So thank you, Zach, because my girl. That's the best verification I've ever gotten.
Yes, and we have one more from the email as well. So, okay, so this is from someone called Blaze. It says, hey guys, I'm Blaze and I'm a big fan from Australia. So yay, represent. Right now I'm listening to some old podcasts and rewatching Veronica Mars. You guys were talking about how you should do Buffy, and I totally think you guys should. We would love to rewatch Buffy with all of you, Blaze. Thank you, Blaze. I mean, I think that the next one is sort of set in stone what Rewatchable is doing next. I think doing Korra, if yeah. that's correct. Yeah. But, I mean, we always take suggestions into consideration, so thanks for that.
And I hope you enjoy rewatching Veronica Mars. Yay!
I would probably only ever watch Buffy if it was on Rewatchable, so that could be one to add to the list.
I tried watching Buffy once because I sat in on a Joss Whedon panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and, like, I love Joss Whedon, so, you know, I was all about it, but I didn't get any of the Buffy references because I had never watched, and I tried. I think I got through about 7 episodes, and I was like, I can't just sit and watch this by myself. Like, I need somebody to tell me why I should still be watching this. Like, it didn't draw me in immediately, so if Rewatchable did it, I would definitely be on board for giving it another try.
Yeah, I still need to watch Veronica Mars. I really want to. Yeah. It's not like I just... Yes, I feel like it's one of those shows that once I start watching it, like, I need to, like, finish it. So yeah. I keep getting nervous, like, go and be like, oh, I'll start it now because I don't have the time. But this summer it looks pretty wide open, so.
Once I started Veronica Mars, I couldn't stop. So, yeah, no, that's totally true.
How many seasons is Veronica Mars? Because I was considering picking it up.
It's 3 seasons, and if you want to go so far as to watch the movie, it is a movie as well. Yeah, so the first two are full seasons. The last one, I think, is a few episodes short of a full season.
Okay.
That's doable.
At least I have a podcast to go and listen to if I watch it.
Yes, there is a podcast, and you can listen to my voice, like, every podcast episode. So, you know. In case you want to do that. I don't know why you would. But.
All right, thanks for listening. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know why I just said it like that. I sound like an idiot. Thanks for listening, Evan. I've been Jack.
I've been Danielle. I don't know who I'm going to be later, but I've been Danielle.
I've been Kristen.
I am and always will be, apparently, Brittany, according to the doc. So I like it.
So great. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, and we will talk to you next week. I'm signing off really weird. I apologize, guys.
It's okay. I enjoy it. Bye,
it's all good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
God, that
if
was
it's
a hot
too
mess.
Formulaic, it just starts to sound weird. So it's fine yeah. to be weird.
Yeah, cool. It's cool to be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool to be weird. Hello.
Cool to be weird.